You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
So take your Bibles now and go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 15. The Gospel of John chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand and one of the ushers on either side, they would love to put a copy of the Word of God in your hand. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. Please take it. Write your name in it, highlight it, underline it, read it, and have your life changed by the Word of God. As I said, we're in a series called I Follow Christ, and I pray that at the end of this series, we understand clearly what it means to follow Christ, and I'm actually expecting that our lives will be changed. There's no other thing that we should expect other than God will change us, because I don't know about you, but I look at my life and I fall short so often, and I need God to show me how it is a follower of Jesus Christ lives, and what a follower of Jesus Christ looks like. So John chapter 15, we're going to read verses 1 to 8. John is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then you'll find John. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Jesus says this as he gets ready to go to the cross to die for the sins of the world. He says this to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." He looks at his disciples and says in verse 3, "Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But you, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." We find the first mark of a true follower of Jesus Christ. We got to open our hearts to this, and the reality of this theology, I pray, will hit us directly in our hearts, renewing our minds and changing our lives. I want you to write this down. True disciples of Jesus Christ are marked by the priority of abiding. The priority of abiding. God says that Jesus says he is the true vine, and God the Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." He gives them this loving exhortation, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Here Jesus Christ is giving us a beautiful, in fact, a brilliant analogy of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. The vine and the branches. The word abide in the text, what does it mean? It means to remain. It means to stay. It means to continue in a fixed state. It means to endure. When Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "Abide in me," he's saying, "You must stay with me. You must remain in me. It's going to get tempting to run away, but you got to stay with me." And what we find here in John 15 is one of the clearest descriptions of one of the most foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. It's the doctrine of our union with Jesus Christ. And this is critical, and this is so important. But just in case you're wondering, what does it mean to be united to Christ? What exactly do you mean, Jason, by union with Christ? I want to show you really quickly here. The New Testament uses two interchangeable expressions to describe the believer's union with Jesus Christ. True believers are united to him. Number one, we see this expression in Scripture. We are in Christ, the Bible shows us. We are united to Christ. We are in Christ. 1 John 4:13 says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." True followers of Christ are said to be in Christ. We're united to Christ. But the second expression that's used is this: Christ is in us. That's important for us to understand, and I don't want there to be any confusion about this. We are in Christ, and being united to Christ means also that Christ is in us. On the screen for you, Galatians 2:20 says, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Watch this. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, last week we saw that a biblical response to the gospel of Jesus Christ is faith and repentance. We saw the insufficiency of calling people to accept Jesus into their hearts. It's not a full response to ask someone to accept Jesus in their hearts. However, the theological reality is when we turn to Jesus Christ with faith and turn from our sin in repentance, hear me, we are in that moment united to Christ. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And that's important because John Calvin said this, union with Christ is the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation. It is not simply a phase of the application of redemption. Union with Christ, in fact, underlies every aspect of our redemption. So when we trust Jesus Christ and turn from our sins, we are said to be united in Christ. But see how pervasive our union with Christ is on the screen for you. The Bible tells us we are united to Christ in regeneration. The Spirit of God regenerates us and we are united to Christ. We're united to Christ in our justification. We're united to Christ in our sanctification, and we're united to Christ one day in our glorification. So this union with Christ, the believer's union with Christ, is foundational and is pervasive in every component of the application of redemption. In fact, Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, God chose us, listen, in him. God chose us in him before the foundations of the world. So long before we even chose him and responded to him with faith and repentance, we see the roots of our union with Christ was before the foundation of the world. And this is phenomenal. And this should be phenomenal for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he calls you to a union with him, without which no one can be a follower of Jesus Christ. So here in John 15 now, Jesus illustrates at least two aspects of our union with him. Two aspects. First, he shows us the priority of abiding initially through saving faith by telling the disciples what happens to the branches that are not connected to the vine. If you notice verse 2 and verse 6, Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, listen, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. You understand what Jesus is saying here? There were thousands of people trying to follow him. There were thousands of people saying that they followed him. But there were only very few that were genuinely connected to him. And as Jesus is communicating this, one of them, Judas, appeared to be connected to Jesus, but it would be proven that he was in fact a severed branch, never truly connected to the vine. And what happens to those branches? What happens to those people who have never abided in Jesus Christ, who have never trusted Jesus Christ, who have never belonged to Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus gives us a picture of an eternal separation in hell. He says, the branches that are not connected, what are they done with? Wait, they're gathered, and they're thrown into the fire, and they're burned. So you can look like you follow Jesus. You can come to church. You can sing songs. But you got to look in your heart. Are you genuinely connected to Jesus Christ? Do you abide in him? Have you placed your faith and trust in him? Jesus shows us the priority of abiding initially through saving faith. But secondly, Jesus Christ shows us the priority of abiding with him, in him, as a matter of the believer's sanctification. So he's speaking to his disciples now, branches that are truly connected to him. And he's exhorting them with regards to their sanctification. How are they going to go on in this journey? How are they going to make it when he goes to the cross and everything gets confusing and they don't know what to do? How are they going to go on when he gives them the greatest task anyone could ever receive to make disciples of all nations and they have nothing to make this happen? How are they going to do it? Well, Jesus says to them, you need to remain in me. You need to abide in me. You need to stay with me. You need to remain firmly connected to me. Otherwise, you're not going to make it on your own. You're just not going to make it. And so understanding the context, Jesus has already predicted that Judas, a non-abiding branch, will betray him. Jesus has already predicted that Peter, a genuine disciple, an abiding branch, will falter under the pressure and will deny him. And he knows that Peter will crumble under the pressure of his own denial. And in John 21, Peter's going to try to bail out on the mission. And Jesus, just before he gets ready to go to the cross and experience the suffering of the cross, he's looking at his disciples and he's probably staring in Peter's face and saying, Peter, Peter, you're going to feel the pressure. You're going to want to run away. You're going to want to leave me. But you got to abide in me. You got to abide in me. You got to remain in me. You got to stay firmly connected to me, because it is impossible, loved ones, to be a follower of Jesus Christ without abiding in him. And so notice it again in verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus is teaching them, listen, the fundamentals of discipleship. Jesus is teaching them the basics of discipleship, and he's saying, if you don't get this, you have nothing. And if we don't get this, we have nothing. You can be the most talented, the most gifted, you could be the most well-meaning, but you cannot be a true follower of Jesus Christ apart from abiding in him. And so the challenge for us this morning and in this series, and we're going to unpack this more as we dive into what it looks like that we are people who spend time with God and unpack the 5 G's. The challenge for us this morning is this. As I said, it is absolutely impossible to follow Christ without abiding in him. And if you're trying to live this life, this Christian life on your own, you are probably very discouraged today. And if you're trying to live this Christian life on your own, you're probably very disillusioned today. That's why Jesus says, you have to abide in me, and I in you. Stay close to me. Stay connected to me. We are united together. Live in a way that's consistent with this theology. Live in a way that's consistent with this reality. Every believer is united to Jesus Christ. Don't live like you don't need him. And so many Christians are living like they don't need him. The Bible is not opened. Prayers are never offered. There's no moment-by-moment dependence upon him. Far too many Christians are living like they don't need him. This is why this theology is so important for us to embrace. You cannot be a disciple of Christ without abiding in him. You cannot. Next, true followers of Jesus Christ are marked not only by the priority of abiding, but secondly, true followers of Jesus Christ are marked by this. Write this down. The pain of pruning. The pain of pruning. In verse 2, Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Probably thinking of Judas in that moment. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. On the screen for you, let me give you a definition of pruning, just in case there are no gardeners in the room. Cutting off leaves or branches within limits in order to remove dead or diseased foliage or branches. That's pruning. Also used to control or direct growth, to increase quality or yield of fruit, and to ensure the growth position of main branches to enhance structural strength. That's what Jesus says. God the Father does. He looks into the lives of the branches that are genuinely abiding in him, and he wants so much the disciples of his to bear fruit. And there are moments and seasons of life, and maybe more frequent for you in this season than ever before, where God, the vine dresser or the farmer, reaches down and there's the beautiful vine and there's the branch. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and there's some stuff on the branch that's hindering the fruit-bearing process. And what God the Father does, Jesus says, is he prunes every branch that bears fruit. He cuts away things that are hindering the fruit-bearing process. And C.H. Spurgeon said this, it's on the screen for you: "This is a precious promise for one who lives for fruitfulness." I love that. Let's stop for a moment. What do you live for? What do you want in your life so much? "This is a precious promise for one who lives for fruitfulness. The Lord who has made us, will operate upon us until we reach a far higher degree of fertility. Is this not a great joy? Truly, there is more comfort in a promise of fruitfulness than if we had been warranted riches or wealth or honor. Lord Jesus, speedily fulfill thy gracious word to me and cause me to abound in fruit to thy praise." That's what Spurgeon says. He says, yes, that's a wonderful thing. Operate on me. Cut the things out of me. Cut the things off of me that are hindering my maximum fruitfulness. And I know it'll hurt, God, but cut it off. I want to be fruitful. I want to be fruitful for you. And here's why this is so important for us: because sometimes we think that seasons of hardship and suffering are somehow punishment from God. And while it's true that God does discipline those he loves when he needs to, sometimes hardship and difficulty is pruning in our lives. That God allows us to walk through hard things, and that's him pruning the thing, teaching us to depend on him, teaching us to lean on him, teaching us to abide in him. That's important, because you may be in this room today and just maybe it's one thing after the other. It's been hard thing after hard thing after hard thing. And I would say to you, listen, if there's no unrepentant sin in your life that you know of that God is disciplining you for, then you can view this as a moment of pruning. And God will even use his discipline as pruning in your life, because he loves you, because he wants you to be fruitful, because he wants to use you, because he says in verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." That's why Daniel Henderson wrote this on the screen. He wrote this: "Your unbearable burden is designed to turn your focus from the mirror to the empty tomb, from self-reliance to supernatural abundance." And when things are going hard for us, this is what we do. We look in the mirror. What's wrong? How can I fix it? We lean on our own strength. We try to get ourselves to a place where we can overcome what it is we're going through. But oh, how I pray we would see that we cannot follow Jesus Christ without abiding in him. And the seasons of pruning we ought to look at, seasons of pain we ought to look at as God's gift to us, drawing us closer to him, pushing us deeper into the abiding of Jesus Christ. But so many of us, when things get hard, we run away from him. We question him. We doubt him. We run away, and God's word is telling us, no, you can't live this Christian life without me, Jesus says. Abide in me, stay close to me. If you're walking through a hard season right now, maybe a season of pruning, it is designed by God to bring you, to thrust you towards the feet of Jesus Christ, that you who have been united to him in your salvation, you can depend upon him daily and abide in him regularly, moment by moment. That's why, loved ones, listen, if we understand this, there's no such thing as a prayer meeting lacking people. You understand that? If we understand this, if we are challenged by this, if we believe this theology, there's no such thing as a prayer meeting that's not full and overflowing. Why? Because a prayer meeting that's full and overflowing is a prayer meeting full of people who understand, I need Jesus. I'm running to the place of prayer. I'm running to the posture of prayer. I need him. Oh, how I need him. Let it be more than a song for us. Let it be the anthem of our lives. You cannot, loved ones, be a true follower of Jesus Christ without abiding in him. You say, well, you don't know me, Jason. You don't understand. No, I'm just telling you what God's word says. You cannot be a follower of Christ without abiding in him. True followers of Christ are marked by the priority of abiding, the pain of pruning. Thirdly, write this down. True disciples of Christ are marked by now this, the proof of fruit bearing. The proof of fruit bearing. Notice verses 4-5, and then we'll jump to verse 8. Jesus says this, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, my life verse, my favorite verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Watch this. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Jesus Christ is very concerned about the fruit-bearing potential of his disciples. And Jesus Christ uses this analogy, and let the brilliance of the analogy challenge us today. Here's what he's saying. The only way a branch can bear fruit is by being connected to the vine. And the more secure the connection is to the vine, the more fruit-bearing potential there is in the branch. Therefore, the only way a person can bear fruit is by being firmly connected to Jesus Christ. A fruitless branch is fruitless because it's not connected to the vine. Therefore, a fruitless person is fruitless because they're not connected to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says something remarkably logical in verse 8. He says, the way you prove that you are my disciples is by bearing fruit. No, we don't work to be his disciple. We're not trying to bear fruit so that we can show ourselves to be his disciple. But true disciples who are in the vine will bear fruit, and the evidence and the proof that they are securely connected to the vine is the fruit. This is going to be a hard moment for some of us. Is there any proof? Is there any proof in your life that you abide in Jesus Christ? You say, I go to church. No, that's not what I'm asking you. Listen carefully. Is there any proof that you are abiding in Jesus Christ? Is there any fruit that shows that you're abiding in Jesus Christ? You say, well, you know, I hang out with Christians. No, that's not what I'm asking you. Is there any proof? Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. On the screen for you, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul says this, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. That's what we're doing right now. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Wow. If Jesus Christ is in you and you are in Christ, you will bear fruit. And as you examine your life right now, as Paul encourages the Corinthians to do, if you're looking and there's no fruit, there's nothing at all. Nothing. Not one trace of one bit of fruit blossoming. And Paul says, examine your life to see if you're in the faith. Now, we're not asking people to doubt their salvation at all. We're not. We're asking you to examine your heart, because there is absolutely no ambiguity with what Jesus is saying here. Is there a passion and a desire to worship Christ in our lives? Hebrews 13:15 describes that as fruit. Is there an increased sacrifice and service flowing from my life? Colossians 1:10 describes that as fruit. Is there a growing desire to share my faith with dying people around me? John 4:36 calls that fruit. Is there any visible change in my life? Are my priorities changing? Are my passions changing? Is there any bit of movement in my life that shows some level of fruitfulness in my life? I'm not saying you don't struggle. I'm not saying there are certain seasons where you're less fruitful than others. I'm saying we need to examine our hearts, because the analogy Jesus gives us is brilliant. And in this room today, there are some branches that are firmly connected to the vine. And you're bearing fruit, and you're loving Jesus, and you're serving Him, and you're spending your life for Him. Others of us, you're connected, but there's some stuff around that's hindering the fruit-bearing process. Some extra branches that are blocking the ability to bear fruit. There's some stuff on there. It needs to be cut away. You're in Christ, but you're not as fruitful as you need to be. Christ is in you, but you're not as fruitful as you need to be. You may be sleepy today. You may be a sleepy Christian. Maybe submitting to other idolatry, and you know, the smartphone has got my attention every morning, and this job, I really like this job, it's taking all my time, and I really want to climb the corporate ladder, and whatever it is for you in this room today, there are some branches that are connected, abiding, but not quite as strong as they need to be. Jesus says the Father's going to come down and start to prune, and maybe in this message, He's pruning right now. You know there are some things in your life that are stopping you from bearing fruit. You know there are some things in your life that are hindering the proof that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And yet there are others in this room today. You are like a branch that is in the dirt. You are not connected at all. You've never been connected. But there you are, a branch laying in the dirt, very close to the vine. But you're not in the vine. And you're laying in the dirt. The last time I checked, you cannot find a branch laying in the dirt anywhere in any vineyard around the world and find on that branch fruit blossoming. Of course not. Why? Because it makes sense. They're not connected to the source of life, the source of blessing, the source of fruitfulness, Jesus Christ Himself. And there are probably hundreds of thousands of branches laying in the dirt who look like they're close to the vine, who look like they're in the vine in churches all over the world. And one day they will find they were never connected to Jesus ever. And so here we have an opportunity. Precious, precious opportunity to examine our hearts, to see if we are in the faith, to examine our hearts to see, have I fallen asleep? To examine my heart, do I even know where my Bible is? Every Sunday morning we bring our kids, obviously, to church, and I say, where's your Bible? And they're like, I don't know. What do you mean? I mean, we're reading it. Where'd you put it? They don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. Dad, can I use your old one? Okay, fine, take my old one. They don't know. But are we like that? We don't even know where the Word of God is. We're not even paying attention. Jesus loves you so much. And in this service, He communicates clearly. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ without abiding in Him. Some sleepy Christians need to wake up today, and God will do that in you. And perhaps some people who have never been connected need to turn, as we talked about in our last series, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and find themselves united to Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing that would be if that would happen in someone's life even today. True followers of Jesus Christ, they're marked by the priority of abiding, the pain of pruning, the proof of fruit bearing. Finally, true followers of Jesus Christ are marked by this. Write this down. The power of depending. The power of depending. Our society and even much of the church in North America so adamantly promotes the idea of self-sufficiency, independence, individual strength, but God's ways are very different. I'm telling you, there's a lot of churches running just self-sufficient. We can do this on our own. I pray that's never said of this church. I pray that's never said of you, loved ones. I pray that's never said of my life. But there are seasons, aren't there, There are seasons where we want to do things on our own. But true followers of Jesus Christ are marked by the power of depending. Write this down. True followers of Jesus Christ are, write this down, are 100% dependent upon Christ. Not 95% dependent. Not 80% dependent. Not 99.9% dependent. True followers of Jesus Christ are 100% dependent on Christ. Let me show you from the passage. Verse 4 and 5. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I wonder how many of us believe that. Come on, let's just think for a moment. I'm almost done. There's a few more things I want to share with you. I'm almost done. Think for a moment. How many of us believe that apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing? No, we live differently, don't we? Apart from my job, I could do nothing. That's what some of us would say, right? Apart from my spouse, I could do nothing. Apart from my house, I could do nothing. But Jesus says something to the disciples. He's about to give them the Great Commission. He's going to go to the cross, die, be buried, raised from the dead, be ascended to heaven. Before his ascension, he's going to give them the Great Commission, the impossible task to take the gospel to all nations. And he's telling them what they need, what is indispensable for them. They are 100% dependent on him. They must abide. They must be firmly connected. So what does that say about our lives? Are we connected? Are we 100% dependent on Christ? Let me just tell you something. If we began to live that way, just have a little bit of vision with me right now for a second. If we begin to believe this theology, think about what would happen. Think about what would happen in your life. Your prayer life will skyrocket. Your dependence on God's word will skyrocket. Our corporate gatherings would be more powerful than ever before. Our prayer meetings will be more powerful than ever before. Nothing like it. If everyone understood, I am nothing without him. And so, do you believe that? Because as I said, you can go to every single vineyard around the world, and what you'll never find is a branch severed from the vine that's bearing fruit. It's impossible, because the vine is a source of life and fruit-bearing potential. And Jesus Christ is your source of life. Jesus Christ is your source of blessing. Jesus Christ is your source of guidance. You can't make decisions without him. You can't get up and go to work without him. You can't think straight without him. You need him. And we are united to him. True disciples of Jesus Christ are 100% dependent upon Christ. And then secondly, I already alluded to this, but true followers of Christ are dependent on the word and prayer. Are dependent on the word and prayer. So let's just be honest for a second. Let's just really be honest. When you wake up in the morning, a lot of us are probably doing this. And you're not looking for your glasses. You're looking for that glorious smartphone, right? That smartphone that will fill my life with meaning. That smartphone that will fill my heart with satisfaction. That smartphone that will satisfy the deepest longings of my heart. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? God, forgive us. God, forgive me. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Jump down to verse 7 now. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. He's talking about prayer. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. In verse 3, he shows us that the true disciples had been cleansed and set apart because they received and believed the word of Christ in the gospel. In verse 7, then Jesus makes a powerful link between his word, prayer, and the fruitfulness of his disciples. It's really amazing. I love it. If you abide in me and I in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will be able to ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Listen to this, I'm almost done. That means if we would be people who would wake up in the morning and not reach for the smartphone, if we wake up in the morning and begin to reach for our Bibles, imagine what would happen. And he said, the word of God will then begin to shape your heart and renew your mind. And then out of the heart and out of your mind will flow prayers that are in line with the will of God, which is found in his word. And Jesus says, if that's the case, watch this. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is not ask God for a new car. This is not ask God for more money or whatever. All of that's fine. Whether or not it has its place, you'll decide for your own life. But we are dependent upon him and dependent on the word of God and prayer. And our fruit-bearing potential will increase as we abide in him and his words abide in us. Then being able to ask whatever we wish and it being done for us. That's awesome. That's amazing. And so my exhortation to us, me as well, my family, all of us, I'm preaching to myself, that maybe you need to take your smartphone and you need to hide it in the morning. Buy one of those little alarm clocks. You know, those old little alarm clocks. Put your smartphone somewhere far away from your bed. Wake up in the morning and have the word of God right there. Pick it up and let his words fill you such that you are dependent upon him. And as his words fill you, oh, let them shape your heart and mind such that you then can begin to pray, oh God, the things that you read about in his word, the things that are concerning you in your life, you can begin to pray in accordance with his will, and there you will find unstoppable prayer power. That's why at our prayer meetings, we let God's word dictate how we're going to pray, because we know that if we pray according to God's word and God's will, he will answer us. And I'm just believing God for such great answers to prayer that we've been lifting since we started this church. More people being reached with the gospel. More believers going deeper in their understanding of the Christian life. I'm praying, and would you pray with me, that this series shapes our church and shapes your life, that something happens within you, you're shaken up, that you hunger for the word of God, that you're thirsty to be in God's presence in prayer, that you come to the prayer meeting to be with the gathering of believers, that it's got to be a drastic thing to stop you from coming to the corporate gathering on Sunday, that you are going to get here, you're going to stop at nothing, you're going to worship Jesus Christ, you're going to be here with the body, we're going to be on the same page, and we are going to see God do the things that only he can do. But we got to abide. There's no other way. True followers of Jesus Christ, abide in him. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come right now. I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads right now. I have an important announcement coming later. I don't want you to leave if you don't have to. But I want you to do business with God right now. How do you know, loved ones, that you are a true follower of Jesus Christ? Is there any fruit in your life? Can you think back to a time where you were so hungry for the Word of God and so disciplined in the Word and prayer, and all of a sudden something happened and you've drifted away? Can you think of that time? You just begin to remember that time. Remember the joy that filled your heart. Remember how God was speaking to you. Remember the clarity with which you used to think. And now maybe some of you are just going through the motions, the church stuff. Remember when you first put your faith and trust in Jesus. Remember how hungry you were to come and read the Bible and pray. Remember that moment. And say right now, Lord, I want that fire to be rekindled. I want to live in a way that shows that I believe this theology, that I need you. I don't just say that because it's a popular thing to say in this church. I need you. With your heads bowed, or however you want to posture yourself, there's nothing spiritual about bowing your heads, but just to minimize distractions, would you just pray a prayer to the Lord? God, I want to abide in you. Would you do that? I want to abide in you. I've been so distracted, God. I want to come back to you right now. Would you pray that prayer? It's powerful. Let's pray a more costly prayer right now. You're sitting in this room, you know there's something in your life that needs to be removed. And God is speaking to you and says, son, daughter, I love you. And I want you to bear fruit. This thing's got to go. You're a believer in this room and you're in a relationship with an unbeliever and it's slowing your fruit-bearing potential down. It's impacting your whole life. God says to you, that's got to go. I love you. There's an area of a lack of discipline in your life. Playing video games all night, waking up in the morning, exhausted, can't do anything, say, God is saying to you, that's got to go. Something more important that I want to do in your life. Something so powerful. There's a television program that you're dialed into, but you know it's just messed up. You know it's wrong. You know it's actually shaping the way you think. Jesus says to you, I love you. What I have for you is so much more. You got to get rid of that. Oh, the list can go on and on. What is it for you? Let Jesus Christ speak to us. Let God the Father prune us. Because what we need is Christ alone. And in this season, what I believe is we're going to see a great move of God and fruitfulness in our lives, but we must abide. But Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for every person in this room right now. You know the struggles, you know the pain, you know the difficulties, you know the confusion, you know what each one is going through. Father, I pray that you would supernaturally strengthen each one in their abiding relationship with you. Lord, I pray this week would be different. I pray tomorrow morning is different. I pray that what you would find for yourself is many people in this church who are running after you with all their hearts. So God, do that. Do that for your glory and for your name's sake. We pray these things in the awesome name of Jesus Christ, the true vine. If you agree, say amen.